Okay, let's try and unpack this. You often see those big financial headlines, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like United Airlines losing $2 billion back in Q1 2020, or Procter and Gamble writing off, what was it, nearly $8 billion for Gillette.
Huge numbers. And Disney, too, with that Vice Media write-off, around $400 million.
Exactly. And it's so easy to just think, wow, massive cash losses. But here's the really interesting part. Did P&G and Disney stockholders actually lose money the same way those airline stockholders probably did?
Well, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it? It's much more nuanced.
Right. And that nuance is key. So today we're doing a deep dive into financial statements, taxes, and that all-important thing called cash flow. The mission here is really to cut through those headlines, give you a shortcut to being, properly informed. We want to focus on these crucial distinctions that really change how you see a company's financial health.
Absolutely. It's fascinating how often the reported numbers don't paint the full picture, or at least not the picture you need for making sound investment decisions.
So where do we start? The balance sheet.
Yeah, let's start there. The balance sheet. It's supposed to be like a snapshot, right? Assets, liabilities, equity, all at one specific moment.
But it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking those numbers, those book values, are what the company's actually worth today. You're saying that's almost never right.
Almost never. Exactly. The book values you see, they're nearly always based on historical cost. It's just how accounting principles work, quite conservatively.
Historical cost, meaning what they paid for it way back when.
Precisely. They record an asset at its acquisition cost. Think about a railroad. Maybe it owns land bought centuries ago for, well, peanuts.
Okay.
The balance sheet still shows that tiny original cost, not its, potentially immense current market value.
Like my grandparents' house showing the price from 1960, not today's crazy market price.
That's a perfect analogy. That's the book value illusion right there, especially with fixed assets.
So, okay, if market value is what really counts, what's a big mistake someone might make just looking at that balance sheet equity figure?
Well, the equity number on the books can be wildly different from the actual market value of the shares. Take IBM, late 2019.
Yeah.
Book value of equity was about $17.6 billion, but its market value, $129 billion.
Wow. Huge difference.
Massive. So if you're a financial manager making decisions, you're focused on that market value, not just the historical cost.
Right. Makes sense. That market value perspective really shifts things. But we also need the moving picture, not just the snapshot. Which brings us to the income statement.
Indeed. The income statement is more like that video recording of performance over time. Revenues minus expenses equals net income.
A bottom line number everyone quotes.
Right. But here's another critical point. That accounting income, that net income figure, can be very different from actual cash flow.
How so? Why the difference?
Two main reasons, really. First, the income statement includes non-cash items. The big one is depreciation.
Wait, depreciation isn't actual cash leaving the company.
Not directly, no. Think about it. A company buys a machine for, say, $5,000. That's a cash outflow, sure. But an accountant might spread that cost as a $1,000 expense on the income statement for 5 years. That $1,000 depreciation expense each year. No cash actually leaves the door in those years.
Ah, got it. It's an accounting concept, not a cash movement then.
Exactly. And the second thing is interest paid. The income statement treats it as an operating expense. But from a finance perspective, we often see it as a financing expense.
Why the distinction?
Because it relates to how the company funded itself, its capital structure, not its core day-to-day business operations. When we're after pure operating cash flow, we want to pull that financing decision out.
Okay, so these non-cash items and how interest is classed, they can really skew the picture. How big can the difference be between reported income and actual cash?
Oh, the real-world examples are quite striking. Get this. General Electric Q3 2019 reported a net loss of $9.47 billion.
Ouch. Sounds terrible.
But they had a positive cash flow of $650 million.
Wait, how is that even possible? Oh, right, the non-cash stuff.
Exactly. Or look at Netflix in 2019. Positive net income, $1.2 billion.
Yeah.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah.
But their cash flow was negative $2.9 billion. Why? They were spending massively on creating new content. Investment, yes, but cash out the door.
That really drives home the saying, net income is an opinion, cash cash is a fact.
It truly does. When we talk about operating cash flow, we mean the pure cash spun off from the daily business before things like depreciation and interest muddy the waters.
Clarity on cash seems absolutely vital. Okay, one last piece. Taxes. Now, for corporations in the U.S., it's simpler now, right? A flat 21% federal rate since 2017.
Correct. For corporations, it's that flat rate. But for other entities, especially individuals like you and me, it's easy to just think about one tax rate. But that's not quite right.
You mean the difference between average and marginal rates?
Exactly. Understanding that is crucial. Your average tax rate is just your total tax bill divided by your total taxable income. It's the overall percentage you pay.
Simple enough.
But your marginal tax rate, that's the rate you pay on the very next dollar you earn. It applies to the highest bracket your income falls into.
Okay, so walk me through that. Why does the marginal rate matter more for decisions? Let's say taxable income of $100,000 back in 2020.
Right. So on $100K taxable income in 2020, your average rate might have been around, say, 18.08%. But the tax rate on that last dollar earned, or the next dollar you might earn, that marginal rate could have been 24%.
So much higher.
Potentially, yeah. And that's the rate that matters for most financial decisions. Because decisions usually involve new cash flows, additional income or expenses. The marginal rate tells you what tax impact that new money will have, what you'll actually keep.
That makes perfect sense. So looking back at everything, you can see how just glancing at reported losses or net income headlines can be, well, really misleading.
Completely.
Understanding the gap between accounting book values and true market values, and maybe even more importantly, between accounting income and actual cash flow, it just empowers you, the listener, to see the real financial story.
It moves you beyond the headlines.
Absolutely. And it really challenges how we interpret things, doesn't it? Like, take a company with negative cash flow from assets. That doesn't automatically mean disaster.
Not at all.
You mentioned Dole Cola had negative cash flow from assets of, I mentioned, $181 million one year.
Yeah.
Why? Because they made a huge investment in fixed assets, buying stuff for the future.
Right. Growth-related spending.
So what does that tell you? It forces you to ask why the cash flow is negative. Is that cash being poured into growth and future potential? Or is it just being lost? It pushes you to really dig into the why behind the numbers.